the show. It's Valentine's Day, so cuddle up with your Valentine, turn on the radio, and listen to Ray and Tay today. And if you don't know, I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and happy Valentine's to all y'all folks out there. Although you should be loving and romantic 24/7, 365. But anyway, give us a call. We got a busy sports show. It's a busy sports weekend and a lot of stuff to talk about with crazy hot topics. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your opinions on NBA All-Star Weekend, the NFL bullying at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, like a lot of folks do, at Ray and Tay Today, and like us on Facebook at Ray and Tay Today. Ray, give them a quick snippet, man. How we doing the show? Because it's going to be hot and fun.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So we'll get into the breaking news. We got some breaking news, obviously, in the NFL with this report coming out. We've got the Winter Olympics, Sochi, where it's like 55, 60 degrees. It's very funny.
They've been in the 60s this week.
We're getting crushed on the East Coast here, but it's 55, 60 degrees in Sochi. We got Major League Baseball, Derek Jeter's retiring. We'll talk about that. We'll also
get into the
great Derek Jeter. We'll talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend festivities. We'll talk about the five events that are going on this weekend. And then Ray and Tay are going to bring you the I Almost Made It squad. So the East versus the West, who could have, should have, and maybe next year can look forward to being All-Stars. So we call them our next five. And then we'll end the show with some NCAA basketball talk. So we'll talk some college hoops. We had number one getting a big-time scare this week with Syracuse needing a buzzer beater from 35 feet from Canadian, all the way from Canada.
Canada's so balling out, Ray.
Yeah, they've got a lot. Wiggins and Ennis, for sure. So let's kick it off. Let's jump into it. It's the hot news of the day. Let's talk about this Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, the report by Wells published today.
44 pages for this report. I guess right off the bat, what's interesting is that the NFL and the Dolphins, they want some time to digest the whole thing, and will make, more substantial findings and details or their thoughts on probably on Monday. It's kind of, funny that it comes out today, sort of stepping on the NBA All-Star Weekend, but it's got to come out at some point, It's just funny that it's on a Friday. Not like the NFL is, trying to outshine the NBA, and this is negative, but just thought that was interesting. I think what I'm hearing from the Bill Polians, all the guys on ESPN, whether Schlereth or, Teddy Bruschi, Darren Woodson, that no, this is not what happens in every NFL locker room. And yes, the locker rooms, and they're going to, I guess the good thing that will come out of it will be some sort of set rules for the workplace. Obviously this was way, way too far, not just with the language, the harassment, the bullying. I think Incognito, Ray, being on the opposite side of 30, even though he's a pretty decent, talented guard, not an all-pro, was a reserve or alternate one time for all-pro, but I think he's going to have a hard time finding a job. And I think Jonathan Martin probably won't be with the Dolphins, but I think he will get a job and there will be a locker room that will embrace him. I want to see what happens with Ponce and then John Jerry. John Jerry's not that talented, so he might get cut, but Ponce is very talented, so I know he'll probably be with the Dolphins and with a long-term contract. What are your thoughts? And also, what do you think about the trainer who refused to, be interviewed by Ted Wells and cooperate? That's pretty bad. It's not a good look for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there with refusing, because it's going to come out anyway, even if it's not through primary sources. It'll come out through the secondary sources. It's interesting that you said that you think Jonathan Martin will get a job and Richie Incognito won't. If you think back 2 weeks ago, the consensus was the opposite. The consensus was that Richie Incognito would get a job and be welcomed back into the NFL, and Jonathan Martin, people would question how much he really wanted to play football. But from what everybody's saying and from all reports, this is an outstanding situation. I mean, we all know that locker rooms are not PG, right?
They're not
R-rated, and, you know, there's you know, it's shades of gray, right, between bullying and teasing and getting on guys and practical jokes and, you know, where do you draw the line? So anytime you put athletes who are in a stressful situation in a locker room, you're going to get this. So that's, we all thought going in, okay, this is a locker room situation. And then slowly we started to understand how extreme this was and how different this was. And it's not just boys being boys or young men being young men. This is out there. This is even by NFL standards, apparently, this is going too far. So I think,
and these guys
are
the team leaders. That's what's, I think, the biggest problem, that the head coach did not know, because these guys were the team leaders. So there was no way that it could get to the top because, you know, these guys are on the leadership council. So there needs to be a restructuring of that whole team.
It sounded like it was limited to the offensive line. So at least it wasn't from – if you're a Dolphins fan, at least you're not saying, oh, my goodness, it didn't spread throughout the 53-man roster. It was just some buffoonery that was happening with the offensive line.
Right, but there was an assistant trainer, though, Ray, who was bullied as well.
Yeah,
you know, and it was more racial and cultural.
You're not worried about that as much. I mean, you're worried about, look, there's going to be repercussions. People are going to lose their jobs. But you're worried if you're Stephen Ross and you're the Dolphins, you're worried about, is this an institutional problem where, you know, it's easy to get rid of 1, 2, 3 guys. It's hard to get rid of 53 guys. So
exactly.
What will happen is this plus the Michael Sam situation coming out earlier in the week or on Sunday, I think what this will do is this will give Roger Goodell basically license to write a locker room policy and basically send it out to the teams and say, look, this is what's acceptable.
This is it.
We're a workplace. And, you know, to a certain degree, I think he has to, because the NFL is all about the brand first and secondly protecting the owners from lawsuits and the league, right? And so if it's boys being boys, okay, that's fine. But apparently, if you look at the details of this report, there's lawsuits here that can be filed against the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe not against the NFL, but definitely against the Dolphins. So you got to think that these guys are billionaires, and when you're in billionaire and you're a billionaire, you're in defense mode, you know? So you got to limit your liability, and I think that you've got to set up now locker room policies just like people do in the workplace where this behavior is acceptable, this behavior is not acceptable, and there's going to be a real tight lid on what you can do in the locker room.
Yeah, it was outlandish. This was outlandish disrespect of a human being. I mean, let's be clear. It's just ridiculous, and I think, you know, kudos to him in terms of, you know, it's sad, right? He didn't feel like he could go to anybody in the organization. So that tells you something about the Dolphins, I think, in a way. And obviously, you know, we spoke to David Shaw. This is a good kid, obviously an intelligent kid. And, you know, he, you know, I don't think he even felt comfortable to be around, to, you know, pump extra weights and to be in the film room, to be around these guys and be harassed. And they said he contemplated suicide twice. I mean, that's serious. So, I don't know. I mean, we don't want to beat it with a crazy, crazy dead horse, you know, but I think it's there's going to be some change. Speaking of change in the NFL, the Saints have released three of their, you know, big-time defenders, part of the championship, and decided not to resign Jonathan Vilma in hopes to re-sign and keep Jimmy Graham and get under the cap and do what they need to do. So they, you know, get rid of Will Smith, Jabari Greer, Roman Harper, and then now Jonathan Vilma. And a lot of these guys, you know, were maybe banged up during the season, so their replacements already played in Rob Ryan's system. So maybe this is just, you know, what happens when you've got to, you know, sort of pay, you know, talented offensive stars.
Yeah, and
it'll be interesting to see.
It's an age of football.
No, definitely. But I
want to
ask you this: Do you think they're going to lose, which could hurt them in keeping Graham? Do you think they'll lose Kostin and Pierre Thomas, which is very possible?
Yeah, they might. They might. Look, they're going to have a drawn-out negotiation with Jimmy Graham. The best thing to do is for them to come to a long-term arrangement, because if they franchise him, they're going to want to franchise him at tight end, and they probably will, which will cost them $4 million. So just that tag will put a bad taste in his mouth. So you want to see them come to an agreement, 3-4 year, 5-year contract, like they did.
He's still young. You got to keep him.
You got to keep him, right? And they'll tag him, and then maybe they'll tag him again. And the worst case scenario, they tag him again. But that'll put a bad taste in Jimmy Graham's mouth, because he'll definitely feel like money's been taken out of his pocket. So you hope that they do that. And you're right. Marcus Colston is getting up
expendable.
There in age. He's still valuable, but at what point? At what dollar figure?
Right.
They already have young
receivers, right? You like Stills. We'll see what Nick Toon can do. And then as far as running backs, you know I spoke about him during the season. I hate to say it, but Kyrie Robinson could take Pierre Thomas's job. And give Kyrie credit. This was one of the kids, and their scouts credit. He was at these regional combines that they have, and they had one or two in the last week or so before the combine, which Ray and Tay will cover on February 22nd. They had the regional combines in New York and Jersey this weekend. They just had it in, I think, St. Louis or Detroit, and then they have another one before the combine. So that's where they found Kyrie Robinson at. So give their team credit, and I think he'll be a nice young fit, and they'll have him and Ingram, and Pierre Thomas might be gone, Ray. You know?
Yeah, look, they can't have all those running backs. Remember, they have Darren Sproles, and they have Mark Ingram, and they have Kyrie Robinson, and they have Pierre Thomas.
Yeah.
So last year they had to get rid of Chris Ivory. This year they're going to have to get rid of one of those backs. They just don't have enough money, especially if a lot's got to go to Jimmy Graham.
And
they're going to have to
bring
in some players on defense as well, because, look, if you lose four borderline starters, then you're going to have to replace them with people. Now, granted, some of the replacements have played already, like you said, but this is going to be a new – this Saints team will have a fair amount of turnover next year.
Right, and then Nate Burleson and Lewis Dimmers are gone from Detroit. Let me ask you this, though. With Greg Williams, you know, part of the New Orleans Saints and the defensive coordinator being back with the Rams – what do you think about that? I mean, I think obviously talent-wise, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, and it's who they wanted to hire before the whole thing went down. So he was gone from a year and then an assistant with Tennessee for a year. Well, he's back with the Rams. I think he might maximize that talent, and the Rams might take a step up if they can draft well and get offense. Watch out for the Rams, you know?
Yeah, I think that he's got I think they finished third in the league in sacks, starting with their stud, Quinn. And so that defense showed signs of brilliance, and they'll be fine next year. The problem that they have is they're in the wrong neighborhood. Six of their games are against Arizona, Seattle, and San Francisco. So I don't know who the interdivisional playoffs are, but six
they
games.
They play the AFC West. They play the Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers.
Okay. So that's 12 games that are – or 10 of those games. I don't even figure the Raiders are not that good. But, you know, maybe they pass the Cardinals, but that's a hard one to make the playoffs in the AFC West. For the next 3-4 years, if you're the Cardinals and the Cardinals did finish 10-6, but if you're the Cardinals and the, the Rams, I don't know. It's just tough. You're in the wrong neighborhood. You got dealt a bad hand, you know?
One other note that will warm your heart, Ray, before we get to, you know, a little Sochi talk with the Winter Olympics, the Washington Redskins hired our man, 1987 Super Bowl champion Doug Williams, as an executive to join the team. I think just like Warren Moon has been a great influence and maybe mentor with the Seahawks, I think Doug Williams coming back home to the Redskins can only help and benefit RG3. What do you think about that? I think it's a great move.
Yeah, look, at some point too many people are in RG3's ear. So I hope that he picks one or two and just listens to them. And if it's Doug Williams, then, hey, nobody better than Doug Williams, right? He's a god over there in Washington. He won a Super Bowl. So just pick one guy, listen to him, be humble, and let your RG3 come out. Because I really – want RG3 to be back in the mix where people start talking about him as a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback in the NFL. So I'm looking forward to 20 big things 2014 from RG3.
Yeah. So give me a little update, man. I mean, you know, I can't totally give props to Canada, but I got to shout out Patrick Chan for winning the silver medal in the men's figure skating. It looks like America is jumping up, Ray. Last night we were tied for second. I haven't looked at the updated medal standings, but what's the latest today? What's going on over at Sochi after the skiers swept the podium the other days ago? That was amazing.
Well, yesterday the skiers swept the podium. Today there was some skiing. You had Switzerland, Croatia, and Italy in the men's super combined skiing, and then you had some more downhill action, Norway, Czech, and Austria. The Super G, Bodie Miller, was trying to get his fifth medal, but he finished seventh behind the Slovak, the Swiss, and the Italian. So the what was interesting, you mentioned it about men's skating, though. So this is the first time since 1936 that the U.S. and Russia/Soviet Union have not medaled in the men's figure skating. So there's been a terrible Olympics for the for the figure skating, especially on the men's side. The medal count now, it's jammed up. There's basically six countries that are getting it done. So Norway leads the pack, tied with the U.S. They're in a flat-footed tie, 4 gold, 3 silver, 6 bronze, 13 medals total. So they're tied for first place. And then after that, the Dutch and the Russians have 12, and the Canadians have 11. And then the Germans.
And hockey started. And hockey started. We had a,
hockey
America
started,
had a big
and
win.
Keep in mind that goals and goal differential is a big deal in hockey. So you'll start seeing some of these scores like 7-1 and 8-2 and 6-0. So it looks like people are pouring it on. But for the tiebreaker,
Just like the baseball. Remember the world championship baseball classic.
When the Mexican team flipped out, when it was like, wait a minute, and the Canadians were running up the score, but the Canadians were right to do that. It was it breaks a tie. So it's not, we're not trying to disrespect you. We're just trying to get to the next round.
That's right. So I think it's going to be fun. I'm glad hockey has started, and we'll see what's happening. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see if America can finish, ahead of Russia. That'd be big for us. I think that would be big. And, I don't think Putin and the Russians would really like that back in their home, which has been like 55, 60 degrees. It's like ridiculous. And in New York, what have you guys been in, like the teens and the 20s with multiple snowstorms there? And we're out here at 85, so I can't complain about Scottsdale. But, overall, I think, with the 9-hour delay, the ratings have been pretty good. They're not obviously up to Vancouver, but they're ahead of Torino. So, that's been, pretty positive for NBC. And we wish Bob Costas well. I missed the whole story. Obviously, I know he's been wearing the glasses and there's been some issues with his eyes. What's going on with Bob Costas?
I think he had pink eye. And he caught that over there, and it affected his sight. And they brought Al Michaels in, I think. Oh, no, and Matt Lauer. They sent him over
Matt Lauer
to
came
Sochi
in, yeah.
to do the, to be a pinch hitter. Or a relief pitcher, because Bob Costas is a big baseball guy, so he'll tell you about baseball. So hopefully Bob gets well, and it's nothing serious, and hopefully it's just a minor setback. But Bob's a veteran. I mean, he's
one of
everything.
The best,
basketball, Olympics, baseball.
He works for MLB TV as well as NBC. But Ray, I don't know if you planned it, but that's the perfect segue. It's all about baseball. Spring training, pitchers and catchers are there. Position players come next week for the Yankees on Wednesday, and that's when Derek Jeter will have his press conference with the media down there in spring training. And he's announced that 2014 will be his last season, and I think the whole world and every park will, just like Mariana, will be saluting just a humble, amazing, king of intangible leader in Derek Jeter. And as for us as Yankee fans, it will be sad to see him go, but you got to say it's the end of the era, right? Jeter, Posada, Pettit, and Mo and Bernie. And should be a fun season. I think he's going to go out with a bang. I really do. I think he's going to play great as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I hope he will be. And it's horrible to see him struggle with his health, because he's been other than running into, I think it was the first game of the season or about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, he ran into the catcher in trying to go from first to third in Toronto, and he lost half a season there. The ankle injury was really bad, and only playing 17 games for a guy that was unbelievable, you know, unbelievable.
It's hard to come back from that ankle.
Durable and resilient.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and he already said that he doesn't feel the same. Even going into this season, this is why it is his last. Even though he's healthy enough to play, he said he's not moving the same. He doesn't feel the same with that ankle.
Also a guy that never wanted to move positions. You know, we kept saying, why don't you become like a Robin Yount, who won an MVP at shortstop and then an MVP in center field. He's also, you know, quiet as kept. The guy's won 5 gold gloves, but he's really not an outstanding defender, and certainly hasn't been for the last 5 years, 10 years maybe. But the guy is playing shortstop. I mean, that's a demanding position on the diamond, right? He's not playing right field. He's playing shortstop. So he needs his ankles and his legs and his mobility, and kudos to him for going into his 19th year, 20th year or so?
Yeah, 19th year.
As a shortstop, as an everyday shortstop. I mean, that's unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
And something just popped into my head. You know, it's almost like the Wally Pipp situation. Tony Fernandez in 1995
yes.
was set
that's
to
who
be
he took
the
over,
shortstop
yeah.
for a while, and Derek Jeter, a skinny 6'1", 185 kid. So that, and the other thing that the other story
and
that
I was
reminded of.
And that year he didn't have
the
greatest spring. But they said they were going to go with him anyway.
Yeah, well, the other story I was reminded of was he was the number 6 overall pick from Kalamazoo, Michigan, you know, was threatening to go to college, ended up drafting him. But it was the, you know, a year or two that George Steinbrenner was on ice. So Steinbrenner couldn't make that decision. So the Yankees had to decide whether to take a high school kid or not. But even before that, there was a scout. He was a Hall of Famer himself. He played in the 40s and 50s. I forgot his name, but he was a scout. And he was a scout for the Houston Astros. And he ended up telling the Houston Astros, you have to take this kid. You have to take this kid, Derek Jeter. And they didn't. And they went instead with Phil Nevin, who was actually a decent player. I think he made 2 or 3 All-Star teams. But he said, I think he resigned after that, because he told his wife, he said, if I can't convince this team, the Astros, my employer, to take a guy that I believe to be, you know, will be a star in this league, he's like, what am I doing? I'm the advanced scout, but if they're not listening to me, then, you know, it's futile. So I think he ended up retiring after that. But he was pounding the table for the Houston Astros to take Derek Jeter.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's great. It's a great story, a great career. I mean, you can think of just all his great plays and you know, hitting home runs in the clutch and coming through. Obviously, the great fielding play against the Oakland A's, you know, cuts it off and guns out Giambi at home. And,
Jeremy.
You know, yeah. Yep, Jeremy, out of the Giambis, Jeremy Giambi. And it's, you know, made him Mr. November. But, you know, we're just going to miss him. I mean, you can't – I think baseball fans everywhere, you know, even, you know, winning the game for his 3,000 hit and just, you know, balling out that day. What was he, 5 for 5 and had, you know, the home run. Jeter is – he's special. He's definitely special and probably – well, maybe we'll have to do this, but he's probably top 5 Yankee of all time. You know,
we
got to
talk about that.
Mantle.
I don't
yeah,
know.
Well,
it depends on
yeah,
how much you value the intangibles, because by numbers he's not. But
no.
If you factor
but
in
the years and the winning, you know, you got Yogi in there, Mantle, you know, DiMaggio, Ruth. You know, there's some other guys, you know, I like my
yeah,
guy,
right,
Reggie,
so right
Munson,
there, you just
Nuttles.
Named four.
Yeah, no, nah, but listen, hey, you know, you just do
Luke
that
Garrick?
Position players, but yeah,
right?
But Garrick, exactly.
Best first baseman of all time.
Yeah,
so,
Garrick, and then, yeah, so he
that's
he,
five
he
right
the
there.
Best five.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's,
and Yankees, I mean, obviously, it's just such a great, great franchise. But you know what? This weekend is going to be something special. And the trade deadline is coming, and I think we got to, you know, we got to talk about it. Let's take a quick break, and let's come back talking some hoops, Ray and Tay, today.
We're back to talk NBA All-Star Weekend 1990.
Yes,
sorry, I'm stuck in the 90s. No, I'm just kidding. 2014. New
Down
Orleans.
In New Orleans. How
yeah,
many Pelicans it. Out there pedaling?
They've got
so,
out.
Real quick, one news note. They announced Harden will be in the starting lineup for the West, replacing Kobe. And I guess my question to you is just
Dwayne
with
Wade's
that.
Dwayne Wade's going to play.
Okay, so Dwayne Wade's going to play. Chris Paul's going to play. But I wanted to ask you this. Will we ever see Kobe start and play an All-Star game again? Do you think it's just a matter? Like, he'll just be there next year, no problem?
I think he'll be there next year. Look, the fans will vote him in just because the fans
yeah.
voted him in this year. And he played for, all of 6 minutes. So I believe Kobe will be fine. Look, like I said, coming back from that Achilles, yet first year, you're not the same. And especially if you're a guard. Now, granted, Kobe's 6'6", so he'll have to do what Jordan did. Now, Jordan did it also because he put on 20, 30 pounds from his playing weight. He'll have to play bigger. He's going to be less athletic, less impactful on the defensive end. So Kobe was going to have to reinvent himself, but I think Kobe will be in the All-Star game next year.
Yeah, I can see that. So going into the All-Star break, the Bulls took care of the Nets last night, and the Thunder, you know, came back and had a great win, and Durant scored 43. And I think what's fascinating is that Oklahoma City is 43-12 with the best record in basketball, and last night he scores 43 points. And so, you know, obviously it's not really the halfway point. You know, some teams have played, 52 games. Some have played 53, 51, whatever. But there's basically a good 30 games left for most teams. When you see how the league has played out so far, one, obviously, you know, we talk about, you know, great leaders like Jordan, Bird, and Magic, and you've got now – you know, Paul, Durant, Melo, LeBron, all these different guys. Where do you think, as we transition to a new commissioner, where do you think overall the game, you know, where's the game at? How good of a shape is the game in as we even talk about these young stars that we're going to mention in different aspects? What are your thoughts on that, with the NBA?
I think the game is fine. I think Adam Silver is a good steward of the game. I don't know that he's kind of the going to boost it to the next level like David Stern did. I like what he said.
Right.
He said, we want to be bigger and better than football. Now, that'll never happen, but it's okay to set lofty goals. I think the NBA is fine in the sense that they have stars, young stars, and they have two megastars in their prime. It really looks like
yeah.
this is the Durant and LeBron show for the next 5 years. And LeBron may move to another team. Kevin Durant, if he holds it down and if they keep that team together, and Russell Westbrook, if he gets healthy, they could be just the class of the West. So the league is fine. The league has two superstars. They have about five or six other, you know, mega stars, and they have young studs coming up. So NBA is doing just fine. I think that the only thing that they might want is, you know, Oklahoma City is not in the media market that the NBA would want. They'd love for that to be the Clippers instead. But, you know, in terms of talent, the NBA is doing just fine. I think I really like this East-West, LeBron, Durant. I hope they get to meet up again in another few finals. You might have a Bird, you know, a Bird Magic situation going on. They train
right,
in the offseason. They like each
awesome.
Other. So I think that's great. And what's lacking a little bit, and this is what bothers, I mean, from a historical perspective, the NBA is, and when Kobe, when LeBron talked about the Mount Rushmore, it was interesting to me that he's a small forward and he had all these small forwards and Michael Jordan. And what bothers me is that where are the centers?
Yeah.
Where are the big men? You know? And that's what's the only thing that's missing a little bit from this NBA is that Dwight Howard, who was, you could argue a megastar 3-4 years ago, is a star, but his star is not the brightest star, and there's no real center. There's no real big men. You know, there used to be
Shaq, no more Ewing, Olajuwon, Shaq, David
Olajuwon.
Robinson. Yeah.
Right. Where's that? Where are our centers? And we had a caller, Hank, who had a philosophy that there are no more centers in the league because nobody
because
wanted to guard Shaq.
Yeah.
So everybody that was 7 feet tall decided they want to shoot 15-footers and not have to deal with Shaq
right.
in the post. So,
well, you know what's so funny? In terms of big-bodied 7-foot guys, most of them are, European. I mean, besides like Robin and Brooke Lopez, went to Stanford, you've got Bogut, you've got Vucevic at Orlando, Gortat at Washington, these guys, my man Pekovic at Minnesota, in terms of like big sort of sluggish 7-foot centers, it's kind of ironic that, from getting like a Detlef Schrempf and a Dirk Nowitzki, that the big centers are sort of more European. Greg Oden would have been the big sort of American center and, never really, had it or could maintain it health-wise.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
let me ask you this. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the only one on the horizon is maybe Joel Embiid, the kid from Kansas,
yeah.
is a freshman. Looks like he projects out to be, a center. If DeAndre Jordan could develop an offensive game, he would be one of these.
Although he's having
a
very good season.
He is.
Very
he
improved,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but where, where are the Patrick Ewings and where are the Hakeem Olajuwons and where
yeah.
are the big, the big centers, the Shaqs?
I guess it's change, and the new era. And speaking of change, when you look at this weekend, I mean, kudos to Damian Lillard. I think he's young, might not ever happen again. He's competing in all five events. Great that he, earned it into the All-Star game. He's in the Rising Stars, I think, with playing with Beal for a team, I think it's for Team Hill. He's in the three-point, he's in the skills and the dunk, so he's doing five events, and that's just going to be really fun and exciting. When you look at the dunk, I just want to get right into it. And, it's East versus West and the freestyle, and then the fans will pick the winner and they, do their different things. We'll see how the format works. I think it'll be better than, standing around watching guys miss like 11 dunks in a row, like Nate Robinson a couple of years ago, on not miss dunks, but miss attempts. Who do you like? I mean, the West, you've got Barnes. Barnes, Lillard. And who's their third dunker? I'm forgetting out West.
Oh,
Barnes,
Lillard. Well, in the East, let's think. It'll come back to us. Because in the East, you've got
George.
Wall.
John
Wall. And Terrence Ross.
Yeah, and Terrence Ross.
That's
the
East,
the defending.
East. Yep.
And then the West is Barnes, Lillard, and...
Barnes, Lillard, and Ben McLemore.
So
yeah.
Give me a favorite, man. Who are you taking in the dunk contest?
I got to think that Paul George is the class of this. Paul George and Terrence Ross. Obviously, Ross is defending champ. So I got to think that the heavy hitters are in the East. Lillard is not really a dunker. Ben McLemore is not really a dunker. He's a shooter, and he can dunk a little bit. Harrison Barnes, another guy, is athletic. So I actually don't like the West team at all.
No, I think
I think
East
that
will
Wall
have that.
Again, athletic, but not really a dunker.
Well, John Wall's got crazy ups.
He does, but if you think about it, I don't know. He doesn't seem to me like a pure Terrence Ross. I just think that Terrence Ross and Paul George are in a class above, and everybody else is a dunker. So, but that's not to say that they couldn't do well. The analogy I give is Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith was close to winning a dunk contest. You know, he lost to Dominique at the end of the day, but Kenny Smith was athletic enough.
He was at the Sacramento Kings. Our guy.
Yeah, to come in number two in the dunk contest. So anyway, I think it's going to be Paul George and Ross, Terrence Ross, are going to do the best in the dunk contest.
Yeah, I got to go with. I agree with you, and I got to go with. I'm going to go with George winning it. I think he's going to take it. The 3-point, you know, they got Marco Bellinelli, Lillard, a bunch of different guys. I can't get a feel on who's going to win it. But what I think is interesting, they're switching it where all the money balls will be in one rack, and you could select what rack you want it on. Most guys will put it in the corner, you know, and want to do it in the last corner so they, you know, warm up and stuff. So that should be fun.
It's hard to go against, you know, usually you like the bigger guys that don't jump, you know, kind of the guys that shoot a set shot. So
right.
those guys, I mean, maybe that's a Marco Bellinelli of San Antonio. Kevin
I like
Love's
Bellinelli.
In it as well. But
I'm surprised
Kyle
Korver's not in it, though.
I know. Maybe
that's
he didn't
kind
want
of
to go.
A diss.
Well, you never know. He might have been invited and not accepted. But Aaron Aflalo, Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, and Joe Johnson in the East. So you would think that Joe Johnson is the guy that's sort of the biggest, strongest guy in the East that doesn't really jump. It's not a pure jump shot. In the West, you got Bellinelli, Steph Curry, Dame Lillard.
Jump. Yeah.
And Kevin Love.
Who you like? Bellinelli I like, but don't sleep on Bradley Beal.
Curry, though. He's probably the best shooter of them all. He's just so skinny. He might get burnt out, but he's by far, to me, the best shooter of them all.
Well, he shouldn't be tired. He's been shooting lights out all season. This guy, every night you turn around, he's, you know, dropping 30 and getting a ton of assists. And, you know, the skills competition should be kind of fun. I think overall it should be a good weekend. Look, they're back in New Orleans. They were there, what, like 6 years ago, which is good for the city. I think obviously the All-Star game is what is, you know, sometimes the weekend is better than the All-Star game. And then sometimes you get these great All-Star games where, you know, the first 2.5, 3 quarters, it's like, you know, showboating and the funky passes, alley-oops and no defense. And then usually the fourth quarter, or, you know, midway through the fourth, it heats up. And then there's always, like, one or two guys you see really fighting for the MVP. So who do you think this year really has got a shot at getting the MVP? Who do you have a feel for? It's usually not the big guys. Probably somebody, you know, that's going to handle the ball more.
You got to have a wing player, somebody with the ball in his hands a lot.
You
somebody
like Kyrie
that's
or Lillard?
25, 30 minutes. And it's usually somebody that can score. With the ball in his hands and doesn't need somebody else. And you typically need somebody with an, I don't want to say an ego, but somebody that can just be like, look, I'm taking over, and this is me.
You know,
I think just because he wants to prove that he's the man and just because he wants everybody to know that he's the man, I was going to say Steph Curry, but I talked myself into Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant wants everybody to know that this is his world and he's MVP
His
team is the best team in the league and he's the man. And from the nice guy for 7 years, he has a little mean streak.
He's tired of it. He wants to win. And he
I
wants to win everything.
Kevin Durant's, it's Kevin Durant's time.
Okay. That's interesting. But you know what's so funny? After the, you know, game winner the other night from Ennis, he overshadowed, and we'll talk about that from Syracuse over Pitt, he overshadowed LeBron's game winner, which I thought was pretty good. But when I saw the highlights, you know, they beat the Warriors 111-110. LeBron was really hyped up and beating his chest, and he's been doing a lot of winning lately without Dwayne Wade, especially on that West Coast trip. you know, beating the Suns and the Clippers and you know, I think ever since they lost to the Thunder on that ESPN Wednesday night, LeBron's been kind of hyped up and on fire, and I think he's heard a lot of this Durant talk for MVP, and I think LeBron's like, slow your roll. I'm still King James. So to me, if it's not like a Kyrie or a Lillard, I agree with you with Durant, but I think LeBron and Durant might go at it. This has the potential to be one of the better All-Star games. A lot of talent. Do you like any of these new guys that are in the game? You know, that,
I do like some of these new guys. My fear, though, is that, you know, the new guys won't play a lot. Maybe Wall might, because Dwayne Wade is probably going to start, but I don't know how many minutes he's going to want to log on that shaky team.
Yeah, no, he's just there for the shaking.
Yeah, I want to see Kyrie Irving and Wall. My guess is a guy like Dame Lillard might not play that much, just because the West has so many guards, and he will have played in his fifth event that weekend. But you figure
they've got
Harden, and they've got Steph Curry, and they got Tony Parker, and they got all these other guys. So it's hard for Dame Lillard to really get enough minutes to dominate that game. But on the East, because of Wade not being
what
able
about
to
Paul George
more than 5-10 minutes.
That's somebody that could be surprising.
This could be a coming out party for Paul George. You figure if he wins the slam dunk contest and he goes out there and maybe even, you know, because his forte is defense, right? And obviously as a wing scorer. So if he goes out there and, you know, it's kind of awkward though, right? Is he going to be the only one on the court playing defense?
Well,
but maybe he and Noah or he and Hibbert, you know, decide, hey, we're going to lock it down. We're going to play defense.
Right.
Like, remember
show
that
the
year
Pacers
Kemba
strength.
Matumbo
yeah.
did? Do you remember
yeah.
that
well,
one
let me
year
ask
where Kemba Matumbo
oh, yeah, no, I know,
rebounds?
Matumbo. Yo, he shut it down. But let me ask you this. Right now, I mean, obviously you can't say better than James because he hasn't won. But is Paul George all around, both sides of the ball, is he better than Durant and Carmelo Anthony at the small forward?
I think he's better than Carmelo Anthony because he's a one-on-one defender. Now, I give Carmelo Anthony credit. Carmelo Anthony's been rebounding, and nobody's been playing harder than Carmelo. I just think that George is a more efficient offensive player, and he's a better one-on-one defender. So to me, he's better than Carmelo.
And what about Durant?
I don't think so. I think Durant is actually playing on the wing. He's playing very well this year. And Durant is 6'11". I mean, some people say he's 7 feet. So he's
getting
a problem.
Lot of rebounds, too.
And
Remember,
he led the Big 12 in rebounding. Now, granted, that was in college, but it's not like this kid just suddenly decided to rebound. I mean, he's been rebounding all along. So I like George.
His whole life.
Yeah. I like George. And Melo might want to make a splash and say, look, man, I'm on display. I'm still the man because, you know, people are not talking about him as much because they're losing in New York. And Carmelo's like, look, I'm still
true.
A star.
That's a good point. So let's talk about, you know, sort of like a segment. Ray and I decided Ray's going to talk about the West and I'm going to talk about the East. You know, we talked about the events and the All-Stars. Well, there's some players this year who are sort of not quite All-Stars. They didn't make it. They weren't invited. They weren't voted in. But they're having pretty darn good seasons and doing extremely well. And Ray and I kind of wanted to shout them out, sort of the almost stars. Do you want to go position by position, or you want to do your squad and I'll do my squad? How do you want to break it down for the fans?
Let's go position by position. Why not?
So starting in the West, let's start in the West with Ray. Who you got as your point guard? Who's the point guard that didn't make it that was no joke?
My man, my Melo, who I've been talking about for years, and you adopted because he's your boy now in your hometown, your current hometown, where you reside, where you put your head down every night, Goran Dragic. Now, he's going to play in the skills competition, so at least he gets to participate a little bit. And we talked about this off air. If you look at his numbers, 20.3, 6.2 assists, 3.5 rebounds on a team that wasn't expected to make anything happen is 30 and 21. He loses his running mate about halfway through the first half of the season, Eric Bledsoe, Goran Dragic is still doing big things. Oh, and by the way, in case you were worried about his efficiency, he's shooting 50% from the field for a point guard and 41% from three. So Goran Dragic is my point guard, and he's just – you know what he is? He's Steph Curry last year. He should have been on the team, but I don't
right.
know who you sit. You can't sit Chris Paul. You can't
yeah.
sit Steph. You can't sit Tony Parker. You can't sit Harden. So
that's fair.
Unfortunate, but his year is fantastic.
And Anthony Davis had to be added in, you know. To replace
yeah.
Kobe, they went with a big guy, and he's local. Okay, so for me, there's a team that's not in the playoffs, and then there's a team who's, you know, kind of winning the Atlantic Division. So I kind of got a tie, so I'll just say real quick, Kevin Lowry, like as Ray said, Lowry, with the Lowry sauce, he is getting busy for the Raptors. You know, DeRozan made the All-Star, so shout out for him. Terrence Ross is in the dunk. But Kyle Lowry is playing ball, 17 a game, 4 rebounds, and I think what's amazing is 8 assists. And you know what? That Raptor team is a little underrated. So I had them tied with the team that's disappointing, and they're right outside of the 8th spot with the Charlotte Bobcats, and that's Brandon Jennings, who's having a pretty good season. His shooting percentage is horrible. He's like shooting like 38%. But 18 points, 3 rebounds, and 8 assists. So those are my guys at the point. Who you got at the 2?
So at the 2 is hard because I would love to put another point guard in there, right? Because I've got Isaiah Thomas and Ty Lawson.
Yeah.
There's some other point guards. But if I had to put a 2 in there, I would go with Monte Ellis. Everybody
yes.
thought his career was over when he was in Milwaukee. Well, anybody's career could be over in Milwaukee. They're just terrible for the last 5 years. So he goes to Dallas on Dirk Nowitzki's team, and helps lead to Dallas to a 30-22 record, just a half game above the other team we talked about, Phoenix. And unbelievable season for Monte Ellis, playing within the team constant, playing for Rick Carlisle, 19.3 points, 3.5 rebounds, over five assists a game, 1.5 steals a game. He's doing it. Monte Ellis resurrecting his career in Dallas. So he's my 2 guard from the West.
Okay. I had a lot of questions at the 2, just like you did, so I liked a follow. I like Bradley Beal. But overall, not just the winning and overall game, both sides of the ball, I had to go with Lance Stephenson, Brooklyn's finest for the Pacers, second-best record, right on the OKC's tails. You know, everybody talks about them, and the Heat are only 2 games really behind them for the number 1 in the East. But Stephenson has got 14 points a game, 7 boards, and 5 assists, and he's shooting 50% from the field. That's pretty impressive. So I had to go with Stephenson.
4 triple-doubles, right?
And exactly, leading the NBA in 4 triple-doubles. So that's my guy at the 2. Who are you rocking with at the small forward?
So it's funny because small forward is probably the weakest position. There were a lot of big men and a lot of little guys, but small forward is probably the most difficult position in the West, so it means they got it right on the All-Star team. But I guess the guy that was left off was Chandler Parsons. This guy, quietly speaking, is helping to lead Houston to the 3rd best record in the West. Now, granted, he's the 3rd best player on that team.
Yeah.
But
2-week run,
17,
Rockets are hot.
Yeah, they won 6-7 out of 8, something like that. They're 8-2, I guess. They've won 7 in a row. That's right, 7 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. Chandler Parsons is, he's doing big things. So averaging 17.5 a game, solid perimeter player, playing both sides of the floor, can play in the half court, can play up-tempo. So that's my guy, Chandler Parsons.
I can't be mad at that. Now, for me, for small forward, there's a guy that's a tweener and then another guy that's a tweener. And so, you know, Detroit's struggling and Josh Smith doing what he's doing, 15-7. But I had to go with Jeff Green because he came off of heart surgery a couple years ago and, you know, traded from the Thunder to the Celtics. The Celtics don't have much, but you know what?
You're saying
with him
that he's
Rondo,
playing with a lot of heart?
He's playing with a lot of heart, Ray. 16 points a game. Excuse me. I don't want to jerk him. And he's on my fantasy basketball team. But 16 points a game, 5 rebounds, and, you know, 2 assists. So I think what Jeff Green brings is some versatility. You know, he could play a little bit of 2, 3, and 4. So I like Jeff Green at the 3 for me in the East.
Okay.
She's powerful.
My 4, yeah, honorable mention goes to Z-Bo, Zach Randolph, but his team is an up-and-comer since Marc Gasol has been back, and they're not yet in the playoffs. A team that is in the playoffs, number 2 seed, is led by the best power forward of all time. So it's no – you're not throwing him a bone by saying he should be an all-star – or he's the next best, but my man Tim Duncan, 15.5 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 2 blocks, 3 assists. Tim Duncan, you know, you don't have to say a lot. This guy is still doing it at the, you know, in his, he came in what, in the 98-99 season? So this guy, he's been in the league, what, 16, 17 years? He's doing it. He's doing big things. Tim Duncan.
All right. Well, I'm going back to them Pacers, and this is, you know, why they're doing so well, because this guy could have been, you know, possibly an all-star team. David West, the ex-New Orleans player, right? Him and Chandler and Paul, they had a little team there for a minute. So David West, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, surprisingly, and he's shooting 49% and playing crazy defense. So I love David West, and even the 14 a game, he doesn't get that many shots, so he's very efficient. But what he does is he intimidates, he rebounds, and he just when you need him to score inside, he hits that little, you know, 12, 10 foot or whatever it is. But David West is solid, so that's my 4 from the Pacers.
Okay, my 5 is indicative of his team. He is utmost talent. He's got skills on offense, skills on defense, skills all day long. The big, the only knock and the big knock on him is that he's not really making his team better, and his team is filled with a bunch of knuckleheads, and they have the 4th worst record in the league. They're tied with the Lakers, but he's having an unbelievable season. His name is DeMarcus Cousins. And this cat is putting up some numbers, 22.5 points, 11.7 rebounds a game, 2.9 assists a game, a block and a half, and 1.6 steals per game. So he's a stat
stuffer. Beat the Knicks last night, the other night.
Unfortunately, he's a stat stuffer on a bad team, but don't take anything away from him. He's supremely talented, and he'll have many more all-star teams in his future. So DeMarcus Cousins is my 5 on my next 5 team.
Well, I finished it out with mine on the East squad, and, you know, it's sort of almost like a tie, but there's 2 guys. One who was in the West last year, Ray's favorite team, the Bobcats, Al Jefferson dropping 20 a game, 11 rebounds, and 2 assists, shooting 49% from the field. So you got to love what Al Jefferson's doing. But in terms of an up-and-coming young thoroughbred from a disappointing team that probably will pass the Bobcats, from the Detroit Pistons, Andre Drummond, UConn's finest. Only 13 points a game, but guess what? He's doing 13-13, 13 points, 13 rebounds. I mean, he's got a little bit over 2 blocks a game, and from the field, 61%. They said this might be the first time since, like, I don't know if it was Chamberlain or somebody, to lead the league in rebounding and in field goal percentage. Or it was the first time since Dwight Howard, I think, did it, but, you know, back when he was in Orlando. So Andre Drummond, ladies and gentlemen, finishes out my almost team and my, you know, the next 5. So bunch of good guys. I think, like you said, the NBA is in good hands. It's definitely in good hands. And these, you know what's so funny? You put these guys together, the East and the West, and this would be an entertaining game as well, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, these guys can all play. Look, if they're on our next five list, that means that they could potentially be All-Stars next year, or some of them have been All-Stars in the past. The big, big – look, I can live with everybody, but the big, big, you know, knocks are potentially Kyle Lowry, but definitely Lance Stephenson and Goran Dragic. Now, Goran Dragic, they got boxed out, but you can't tell me Lance Stephenson shouldn't be on the team. And I'm surprised there hasn't been more of an uproar about Lance Stephenson. Again, and that's one of those things about playing in Indiana. If he played in New York, in L.A., in Chicago, in Miami, there would be a bigger uproar about the fact that this guy's not on the team.
No, you're totally right. And, you know, it's a shame. And usually we said it with the Heat and the Spurs, when you've got, you know, the best record. And then also people say Serge Ibaka, right? Serge Ibaka's having his best season, that, you know, Westbrook's not there, that the Thunder, that maybe, you know, Serge Ibaka could have been on the team or in this game. So, look, it's hard, right? There's just a lot of great players, and, you know, I think it's a lot of fun. So you ready to close it up strong with some college hoops, man?
Yeah,
let's talk real quick before we preview these games. A couple, you know, big games. The Gators are going to Rupp Arena to play Kentucky. But real quick, Tyler Ennis, C.J. Fair. You realize C.J. Fair for Syracuse was 24-0. They go in, they beat Pitt. And he is amongst Syracuse legends for scoring. He's up there. I think he passed, I don't know if it was Moton, but he's up there with Moton, Pearl Washington, and Dave Bing.
Wow.
Yeah, your boy Lawrence Moton from D.C. with the high socks. Remember Moton?
Well,
yeah, so that's where C.J. Fair is at.
Well, think about passing people. Doug McDermott, Dougie Fresh, is passing.
Yeah.
Otis Birdsong is next. He's passing Larry Bird. He's passing all these legends. He passed J.J. Redick. He's about to hit Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, this guy's about to be – he'll probably end, because they count the postseason as well. This guy's going to end up as a top seven or eight scorer. I mean, he'll be up there with the likes of Lionel Simmons, the L train from LaSalle. I mean, this is good for him, good for Creighton, good for Doug McDermott.
People are comparing him to Bird.
Nah,
you know, like everybody wants to try to, you know, find the next Bird. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's Adam Morrison. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it all plays out in terms of,
NBA roster, and he'll have an NBA career. Again, I don't know if he's a starter. I don't know if he's a sixth, seventh man. Maybe he's a starter. I don't know. But look, the guy is big. The guy can shoot. The guy can get you a couple of rebounds. He's 6'7". I mean, look, he's an NBA player. He'll get drafted. He'll make a roster.
How clutch was that shot from Ennis, man? Did
you
think Syracuse was done? And then he comes down and hits it.
I did. And, you know, people are getting on Jamie Dixon. But when you have a young team, or even in college, I never – fault a coach for calling timeout. Just get everybody on the same page. Make sure they are where they need to be, because they weren't up far enough. So then they got it. They made Ennis work for it. They double teamed him. He just made a better
shot.
They
let him get to the outside, though. You can't do that. Ugh.
Yeah.
You want him to go east to west.
You do, and you practice that. But, you know, sometimes when you're that quick and you got that handle, so I don't blame Jamie Dixon. That's just one where you say to yourself, you know what, he just made an outstanding shot. Contested three from 35 feet. What can you do?
So can the Gators go into Kentucky and win?
My
Gators, their ranking?
You're not ready for my Gators. I actually want them to lose, because I want them to be a little hungrier, and I want them to have a little chip on their shoulder going into the SEC championship. So I'm going to predict that Kentucky beats them.
Mm.
The youngsters put it together and beat Florida, and that's actually going to be a good thing.
Okay. I could see that. I could see the youngsters getting up for that, and you know, Calipari getting them hyped up. Now, what about this Wisconsin-Michigan game?
Oh, this Big Ten is so hard to predict. They're all beating up on each other, and it tends to favor, you know, teams that are playing, you know, that have some momentum. And Michigan's been playing fairly well. recently. They had some clutch wins. They lost a few games earlier, but they've been putting it together. I have a hard time with this game, but I think Wisconsin maybe needs it more for their, you know, seeding and the
It's all
the
about
Big
what
Ten
Bruston
tournament.
Jackson do, I think, for me. If Bruston Jackson can sort of keep up with Michigan's guards and you know, really get Wisconsin going, I think they got a shot to win. You know, that's going to be interesting. And then another big game, Villanova Creighton, Ray. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, that's on Sunday, right? Yeah, the Wisconsin-Michigan game's on Sunday and the Villanova Creighton game. You know, I got to be honest with you. I haven't really been blown away by this Villanova team, but they're just doing
no.
it. They're sixth
yeah, no.
in the nation. They're doing
Jay
it.
Wright,
I think
great
they'll
coach.
Win. I think they'll win. I think they have enough athleticism to deal with McDermott, make him work. He'll still get 25, but make him do it on, make him do it on 25 shots. So I think Villanova goes in there and wins. I'm not sure they're a number six seed, but the number six overall seed, you know, our overall
mm-hmm.
team. But I do think they have enough to go into Creighton and beat Creighton.
And then we got some two sort of interesting. So you got North Carolina Pitt, which is, you know, they're not ranked, and then Maryland Dukes, you know, two ACC games where there could be upsets. You know, I'm praying for my Terps. I'm like, yo, Terps, let's beat Duke.
Oh,
but Pitt, North Carolina.
Go to the Big Ten already.
Hey, Des Wells and my guys, I know. It's our last chance, man. We gotta flex. But UConn-Memphis is a big game, too. And by the way, I think the Tar Heels are going to beat Pitt, by the way. I think our boy is finally playing James
McAdoo.
Michael McAdoo
well, really
is playing
Paige.
Ball.
Paige makes that team, you know, click. But Takato and
McAdoo, good,
yeah, sure. They've got some they still can't shoot. But other than that, you know, as long as Roy can get them to defend and play with some energy – got a little bit of size. They got some athleticism on the perimeter. If they can find some shooters and get streaky, then they can make some things happen, get themselves a 7-8 seed in the tournament. I'd be happy with that. Because I'd like to see
right.
Carolina break the top 25, which they might if they beat Pitt. And then the problem is they play Duke twice.
On Thursday,
the
makeup
game,
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Well,
what
that's going to be
there.
Fascinating. Hope everybody's safe on the whole East Coast with all those storms, and you know, there's been some people lost their lives. So, just hope everybody is safe and you know, cleaning up and doing well with all the ice and snow and stuff. But so the last game I got to ask you about, they're both ranked. The Memphis, who beat Gonzaga last week, they're going to Storrs, Connecticut to play number 24, number 24 UConn. Well, how do you like this game? We'll see what Kevin Ollie can do with the UConn Huskies with our man, Shabazz Napier.
Shabazzy Baz.
Should be a good game.
It should be. That's the first game, I think. That's a noon game on Saturday, so we'll be watching that on ESPN. You know,
that's
Josh Paschal has this Memphis team playing well, and they're athletic, and I think they could do some things. So even though Connecticut has, the leadership of Napier, and they've got some people that have some experience in the tournament, even playing together, I actually like the athletes in Memphis, and I think that this Memphis team is pretty good, and they can go into Storrs and beat Connecticut. It won't be easy, but I like Memphis on the road.
Okay. Well, let's see if SMU, they got to remake the game up with Rutgers and then play Temple and Arizona State and Arizona tonight to see if they can still stay at number two in the country. So this weekend we got a lot of good college basketball. You almost can't wait for the sort of Syracuse-Duke matchup again. just to see, you know, what's going to go down. I think Michigan State will handle Nebraska. But, I Wichita State is not playing against, you know, the toughest opponents. So they might, you know, still stay undefeated, you know, playing at Evansville. That could be a surprise upset. And I don't know, does Syracuse, could they even possibly lose against North Carolina State? That'd be another huge upset, too.
Yeah, they'll probably lose to a marquee team. You know, either before the tournament or in the ACC tournament. I don't think Syracuse is going to go in undefeated. Wichita State might.
No.
But look,
it'd be hard to win at Duke.
We got a lot to look forward to this weekend. So great
it's
show.
It's
going to
be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, great show.
ESPN's got the celebrity basketball game on, so we got to check that out.
Yeah, big hoops weekend, college and pro. The NBA All-Stars are out in full effect. So we'll see you on Monday. Have a great sports weekend.
Definitely.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for talking sports with friends. We're out.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
Happy Valentine's Day. And my twins, the Taylor twins, 6 months today, Jackson and Mateus. Got to shout out my boys, man.
Big shout. Big shout out.
All right. Yeah.